In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of this series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And inshallah, in today's episode we are going to discuss the topic Virtues of Giving in the Path of Allah Almighty. Yes, inshallah, it's such a virtuous action. Let's inshallah learn more about it. And towards the end of today's episode, as we always do, we will inshallah reveal a beautiful publication of Maktabatul Madina, which has something to do with our schedule and how we can make our schedule as close to the schedule of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, I'll reveal the actual name of the book towards the end of the episode, so stay tuned. And now let's remind one another to recite durood and salam in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we always do. Let's inshallah extol the virtues of durood and salam. The Rasul of Rahma, the intercessor of the Ummah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has stated, O people, indeed the one to receive salvation quickly from the extreme difficulties and accountability of the day of judgment will be that person from amongst you who would have recited abundant salat upon me in the world. So let's recite together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, as we have begun, let's inshallah again engage in the recitation of durood and salam in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And few ashar for the sake of barakah of Imam al-Kalam, Kalam al-Imam, Imam al-Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman, inshallah azza wa jal.
Salli ala nabiyyina, salli ala muhammadin, salli ala shafi'ina, salli ala muhammadin. Phir ke gali gali taba thokare sab ki khaye kyon. Phir ke gali gali taba thokare sab ki khaye kyon. Dil ko jo akhl de khuda teri gali se jaaye kyon. Salli ala nabiyyina, salli ala muhammadin, salli ala shafi'ina, salli ala muhammadin. Rukhsat qafila ka shor ghash se hame uthaye kyon. Rukhsat qafila ka shor ghash se hame uthaye kyon. Sote hai unke saaye mein koi hame jagaye kyon. Salli ala nabiyyina, salli ala muhammadin, salli ala shafi'ina, salli ala muhammadin. Bar na the habib ko palte hi ghareeb ko. Bar na the habib ko palte hi ghareeb ko. Roye jo ab naseeb ko chain رہو گوائے کیوں صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد صلی علی شفیعنا صلی علی محمد. جان ہے عشق مصطفیٰ روز فضو کرے خدا, جان ہے عشق مصطفیٰ روز فضو کرے خدا, جس کو درد کا مزہ نازِ دوا اٹھائے کیوں. صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد صلی علی شفیعنا صلی علی محمد. اب تو نہ روک اے غنی عادت سگ بگڑ گئی, اب تو نہ روک اے غنی عادت سگ بگڑ گئی, میرے کریم پہلے ہی لقمائے تر کھلائے کیوں. صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد صلی علی شفیعنا صلی علی محمد. سنگ در حبیب سے ہم کو خدا نہ صبر دے, سنگ در حضور سے ہم کو خدا نہ صبر دے, جانا ہے سر کو جا چکے دل کو قرار آئے کیوں. صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد صلی علی شفیعنا صلی علی محمد. ہے تو رضا نرا ستم جرم پہ گئے لجائے ہم, ہے تو رضا نرا ستم جرم پہ گئے لجائے ہم, کوئی بجائے سوز غم سازِ طرب بجائے کیوں. صلی علی نبینا صلی علی محمد صلی علی شفیعنا صلی علی محمد.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, as we have now recited a beautiful praise and the naat in the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, let's inshallah begin with our topic for today, and that is virtues of giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this regard, there is a beautiful story and parable that one day, whilst Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was delivering a discourse, a speech, a great pious predecessor, a great saint of Allah. And while he was delivering his speech and his bayan, a deserving person asked him for 4 dirhams, 4 coins. This person was asking. He also made an announcement that I will make 4 du'as for the one who gives him 4 dirhams. This great saint of Allah, when the person asked for 4 dirhams, he encouraged the people that was there. to give him 4 dirhams, and in return for the 4 dirhams, he will make 4 du'as for that person. So at this instance, a slave was passing by, and having heard the merciful voice of a pious saint, he stopped and gave the beggar 4 dirhams he had. Remember, it was a slave who gave him the 4 dirhams to this beggar. And Sayyidina Mansur rahmatullahi ta'ala asked him, tell me, which 4 du'as would you want me to make for you? And to that he replied, the slave now replied, he said, I want these 4 du'as to be made for me, inshallah. The first is, I be made free from slavery. That he becomes free from slavery. That's the first du'a. The second du'a that he asked for, that he be given the reward for these 4 dirhams that he has given, he wants the reward for the 4 dirhams. Right. The third du'a that he asked for is, my master and I be privileged to make tawbah and repent in the court of Allah. And the fourth and the final du'a that he asked this wali of Allah to make for him is, that my master, you and all the attendees be forgiven. Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar, after he has heard these 4 requests from the slave who has given this beggar 4 dirhams, and he raised his hands in dua and made dua, the slave got late to reach his master. He was on his way when he was stopped and to give the 4 dirhams. However, when he reached back and his master, he inquired that, why are you late? You know, so he told him about whatever transpired. So his master asked, what was the first dua that you requested this great wali of Allah to make for you? He said that the first dua I asked him to make is that, please make dua that I be made free from slavery. Having heard this, the master spontaneously said, go, you are free from slavery from today, subhanallah. Then he asked about the second dua. What was the second dua that you asked? He replied that the second dua I wanted him to make for me is, I want the replacement for the 4 dirhams that I have given. So the master replied, I am giving you 4,000 dirhams in return for 4 dirhams that you gave, subhanallah. And then the master then asked, what about the third dua? What was the third dua? The slave replied, my master and I be privileged to make tawbah and repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hearing this, the master started making istighfar and said, I repent of all my sins in the court of Allah. The master then asked about the fourth dua. What was the fourth dua? And he replied that, I made this request that may my master, you meaning the saint, and all the attendees of the ijtima be forgiven. After hearing this, his master said that, I have done the 3 things that I could do. But the fourth one, forgiveness for all, is beyond me. I cannot do that. And at the same night, when this master had fallen asleep, and in his dream, he heard a voice saying that, whatever was under your control, you have done that. And I am Arhamur Rahimin, I am the most merciful of all. And I have forgiven you, your slave, Mansur, and all the attendees. Subhanallah. This beautiful story is mentioned in Rawdur Riyahin, subhanallah. Now, we just witnessed this beautiful miracle of giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns when you give something in His path. And it will, you will have the returns in various mysterious ways. You'll get help from the unseen. You'll have calamities averted by the virtue of giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to someone who's deserving, of course. And that slave who gave only 4 dirhams in sadaqah, how much he got in return? 4,000, meaning he got it with 1,000% profit, subhanallah. This is the deal that we need to make. To those who are involved in businesses and trades and share markets and so on and so forth, you know, when the investment you put there and it's growing incrementally, you know, your shares are growing in value, and sometimes you will see the hike of maybe 2%, 3%, and you get so happy that, you know, my shares are growing, their value is growing, the market value is growing, mashallah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grew the value of this 4 dirhams to 4,000, and that is the return of 1,000% profit. 1,000% net profit, subhanallah. So it is up to us, what kind of deal do we want to make? Do we want to make this kind of deal where we are giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it multiplies many folds, subhanallah? It all depends on your intention. If you give truly and sincerely for the sake of Allah, without being there any sense of ostentation or show off, then yes, there will be barakah and blessing in it. And you don't have to be a millionaire in order to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you can afford. This person was a slave, right? You just heard from the story that this person was a slave who gave 4 dirhams. Although there were many, many people that were sitting there as attendees and in that gathering, but a beggar who was passing by, he had the courage and he had the heart to give 4 dirhams, subhanallah. And not those that were sitting there. Just imagine, you don't have to be a millionaire or billionaire or business tycoon to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you can afford. You know, even if you can give a slice of bread in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to someone who's hungry, who hasn't eaten for the entire day and is down and out, you know, looking for food in the dustbin, sometimes you will see people going to such an extent. And if we could help this kind of people and put a smile on their face and help them to fill their belly for just one time, the reward that we have in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be immense, inshallah azza wa jal. And by virtue of the blessings of sadaqah, Allah azza wa jal, we also learned that he forgave the slave and his master along with many other people that were sitting there. So yes, if you give sadaqah, not only you are forgiven and you receive its blessings, but also people who are around you, who help and aid you to do these virtuous actions. Yes, alhamdulillah, your family, your loved ones, your neighbors, they all benefit from it. Certainly Allah Azza wa Jal gives the reward many folds than this to the one who gives sadaqah sincerely in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The key ingredient here is that we must do it with sincerity and not do it and then advertise in the newspapers, in the magazine, yes, so and so has given such a big check, you know, to help and aid the Muslim Ummah and so on and so forth. So as soon as you have made it known, made it public, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our intentions, even whatever is hidden in our hearts. So if the intention was true, there is no need to publicize it, there is no need to publish it in newspapers and in magazines and so on and so forth and plaster it all over social media that, you know, this is how generous you are. No, none of this matters in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that matters is the sincerity of your heart, even if you give as little as one date. Subhanallah. Therefore, we should also make time, to allocate time for this kind of work. Some of us are too busy, you know, to go out and look for those who are deserving of charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we see people, you don't know who that person might be. But if you think that person is a scam artist or they are just doing wrong and you're giving them charity, then you know where your charity is going. But this wali of Allah, he confirmed that this was a deserving person. Yes, so we need to look for those, you know. Sometimes a person can be in the state of destitution and he wouldn't have torn and tattered clothes on. It could be your neighbor. It could be your brother. It could be one of your relatives, your cousin, your nephews. It could be someone who is very close to you, but we do not often inquire as to, you know, what is the state of my family? Are they okay? And in this way, we don't get to know. And those people are honorable people. They don't open their mouth and ask. Yes, it is our responsibility to take care and to, from time to time, out of concern, pick up the phone, ask them if they are distant, if they are close to you, go visit them, see if they are okay. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla, in this way, we are fulfilling the responsibility and the rights of our relatives at the same time, and the neighbors that are there, they also have rights upon us. We have, alhamdulillah, done an episode where we discussed the rights of neighbors. Yes, they do have rights upon you, and Islam encourages us as Muslims, as the Ummah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to look after our neighbors and fulfill their rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to charity and sadaqah, He states in the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. Translation from Kanzul Iman: those who believe without seeing the hidden and establish the obligatory prayer and spend in our part from what we have provided them. Subhanallah. About this part in the verse of the Holy Quran, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. What does it mean? Walana Mufti Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he has stated that spending in the path of Allah means either giving zakah, which is obligatory charity, as at another place it is stated, يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ, or it means spending unconditionally in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, whether it is obligatory or wajib act such as zakah, nazr, your necessary living expenses and of your family needs, etc., or something mustahab that is recommended, that is not wajib, that is not obligatory, such as nafl sadaqah, charity, you know, obligatory and optional charity that is there, and the isal thawab of the deceased as well. At this occasion also food and items, you know, are given, grocery items, etc., are given on behalf of the marhum, alhamdulillah. That is also a form of nafl sadaqah. And then the ruling is that whether it is a sadaqah of Gyarawi Sharif, of Fatiha, or 3 days, or 40 days, they are all included in it, as all of them are nafl sadaqat. Subhanallah. That is again mentioned in the tafsir of Quran, Khazain al-Irfan. Undoubtedly, alhamdulillah, we, as fortunate Muslim Ummah, we are practicing this. And if you do not, inshallah, start practicing from now, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, and you will see the beauty of it in your life. Subhanallah. What is sadaqah or charity? How does Islam define it? Sadaqah simply means that one should give something in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the purpose of getting praises from people. Yes, you don't want brownie points from people. Yes, you need the blessing of Allah. That should be the reason to give sadaqah. Not that, you know, that you want people's praises and they must praise you and they must say nice things about you. No, if this is the intention, then no, we have lost it. But the intention should be to attain reward from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful kalam, and it is recited by none other than Haji Abdul Habib Rukne Shura Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, and the kalam is very famous kalam, Faslo ko takalluf hai humse agar, subhanallah. And let's listen to this kalam, and we'll be back shortly after this kalam. So stay tuned with Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Maang lo, maang lo, chashme sar, maang lo, dard dil aur husne nazar, maang lo, sabz gumbad ke saaye mein ghar, maangne ka maza aaj ki raat hai, aaj ya to Allah, ya Habib Allah, ya Rasool Allah, salamun alayk, ya Habib Allah, salamun alayk. مسافر کو ہے کتنا شوق سفر، ان کی چشم کرم کو ہے اس کی خبر، کس مسافر کو ہے کتنا شوق سفر، ہم کو اقبال جب بھی اجازت ملی، ہم بھی آقا کے دربار تک جائیں گے، یا رسول اللہ یا حبیب اللہ یا رسول اللہ سلام علیک، یا حبیب اللہ سلام علیک، یا نبی پھر بلا لو مدینے میں عطار کو، اپنے قدموں میں رکھ لو گناہ گار کو، پھر بلا لو مدینے سگے عطار کو، اپنے قدموں میں رکھ لو گناہ گار کو، کوئی اس کے سوا آرزو ہی نہیں، تم پہ ہر دم کروڑوں درود و سلام، یا رسول سلام علیک، یا حبیب اللہ سلام علیک، یا نبی اللہ سلام علیک، یا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ, you are listening to this beautiful and amazing kalam, mashallah, and that too it is recited and rendered by عاشق رسول رکن شورا حاجی عبدالحبیب اطاری دامت برکات مولا علیہ. سبحان اللہ, as we were discussing virtues of giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have learned few verses of the Holy Quran in this regard. In another verse of the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal states in verse number 92 of Surah Ali Imran that you shall never attain virtue until you spend in Allah's path the things you love. And Allah is aware of whatever you spend. Subhanallah. Commenting on this verse of the Holy Quran, Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has stated that Sayyidina Ibn Umar, Abdullah Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that spending here refers to general and common spending of all sadaqah. Yes, and that is whether it's wajib or nafil, they are all included in it. Meaning it doesn't have to be a wajib sadaqah or a nafil sadaqah in isolation, but in general. And Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has said that the wealth which Muslims like and spend for the pleasure of Allah is included in this verse of the Holy Quran, even if it's a single date. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi used to give sacks of brown sugar in sadaqah after he used to purchase these bags of sugar, and sacks upon sacks he used to buy and give them in sadaqah. So somebody asked him, why do you not give its value, meaning its price, for sadaqah? So So he said, I love brown sugar, you know, and I want to spend the thing that I like the most in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. So yes, spend that thing which you yourself love and like in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What that means, another way it could mean that, you know, you have old, torn and tattered clothes which you yourself hate to wear it, and then you're giving that as a sadaqah, and you are thinking you're doing something great by doing that. Something you hate, you can't stand to see it in your house, and you just want to, you know, putting it in the bin, you're giving to somebody a sadaqah, and you think that you have done something great. No, we need to give things in sadaqah that we like for ourselves. We like that thing, we love that thing, and then give it in sadaqah. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Instead of being stingy, you know, being stingy is not a virtuous quality in itself, and it is frowned upon in Islam. So we shouldn't be that person who likes to hoard and you know, be stingy about whatever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in abundance. There is no need for you to be stingy with it, but also give with open arms in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever needs help, you know, inshallah azza wa jal, be of help to other fellow Muslims, inshallah azza wa jal. So when you need help, there will be someone for you, inshallah. We all need help at some point or another. So inshallah, remember, you may not always remain rich and affluent for the rest of your lives. You must have seen with your own eyes, there were people who were richest of the rich, and what happened? They came right down on the street. What happened after that? They paid for whatever ill behavior. If they weren't well behaved people, they were stingy or would like to hoard the wealth and so on, then people also wouldn't like to help them. You know, what goes around comes around. So yes, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, has blessed you, before you come from riches to rags, before that happens, make use of this wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and it can be taken anytime. Yes, and we are not here to live forever. There will come a time where we will need to leave all of this, whatever belongings that we have, our clothes, our furniture at home, our expensive items, jewelries, and bank balances and everything, business and assets, properties, etc. It will all be left here. All that we carry with ourselves is our deeds, whatever we did. So inshallah azza wa jal, let these things work for you. A wise investor, what he does? He invests his money wisely. So yes, this dunya is a field of investment for us as believers. What are we investing in? Are we investing in our children? Are we investing in our towards our akhirah? Because there are all the actions, they are cut off except for three things when a person passes away. One of those things is if you have left pious children behind, those children who will make dua for you after you have passed away. If you have planted maybe a tree or dug a well, you know, where people take shade under that tree, and in this way you are also getting benefit in your akhirah, in your qabr. If you are a scholar, you have taught people, and they are, alhamdulillah, passing the knowledge on. So even when you are not there, because it is your legacy and it will continue, inshallah, azza wa jal. So yes, there is someone benefiting from whatever contributions you made in this world. So these are the kinds of investments we should look towards, yes. Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he had purchased a very expensive well, and prior to that people would have to pay money to get to extract water from that well. But looking at the difficulty of people and the ummah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he purchased that well. And after he purchased that well at a very high price, he gave it as charity for free, and he made it free to use for the entire ummah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now, that is what you call a wise investment, subhanAllah. And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted him the glad tiding of paradise. MashaAllah. So these are the things, these are the motivational kind of scenarios we need to look at. You know, if we need to invest whatever little money we have in, instead of, you know, blowing it up, going to fancy restaurants and just, you know, spending in ways which is not really worth it, like for example short-term pleasure and stuff like that, we could invest it wisely in something that is going to work for us. You want your money to work for you, right? That is the whole idea. So yes, invest in something that will work for you while you are asleep. Passive income, yes, that is also something to look at, inshallah azza wa jal. There are institutes, Islamic institutes, where the children are learning Islamic knowledge, and they are all in need of funds. So if you could by any means help them in to achieve this, inshallah azza wa jal, because they are learning the deen of Allah, so yes, why not? That can work towards your passive income. And as that child is learning Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, reading the verses of the Holy Quran, becoming Hafiz al-Quran, becoming Alim al-Din, inshallah, all the reward for doing all of that, some of the reward is going in your account as well, subhanAllah. That is passive income. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His angels, they are taking accountability of all of that. And inshallah, you will reap this benefit when we are in the Akhirah, in the hereafter. So yes, for our spiritual well-being, it is very important that we learn to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah teach our children, those who alhamdulillah are in our circles, our dependents and so on, and our siblings. We need to inculcate this mindset into the minds of people that yes, this is something we need to look at. Have a meeting with your family members. Yes, inshallah azza wa jal, dedicate a day, maybe on this day, schedule it inshallah, and then you can, you know, set aside a day when you can go out and visit different orphanages, different institutes where zakat or sadaqah is accepted. Look around for people around you, your neighbors and other members of the society, if somebody needs help, inshallah azza wa jal, and you could help them in your own unique way. And it doesn't only have to be a monetary help, it could be means of help in various different ways, cash or kind. For example, if someone is there who's in need, you know, if someone's got a house and they got a leak in their roof, and you're a builder, you would know how to fix that. So instead of, you know, him in your neighbor incurring extra expense trying to fix all of that, and they may not be in a very good financial state, you could have helped them out just by investing maybe 1 or 2 hours of your time. Yes, for example, you are in a medical field and there's someone that needs help, so it's not always about money. Yes, you have your profession, you have your practice where you make your money, and there are times when you go out of your way, inshallah azza wa jal, help those who need help. They may not be in a situation to pay you, but then their du'as is what you need at the end. If you are in a field of work that is alhamdulillah through which you got expertise, through which you can help people, then why not help them by all means, inshallah azza wa jal. In these are the ways. I'm just giving example. You know your situation better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what's in our hearts. And it is the sincere intention that we have that counts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant whatever little endeavors that we do in His path, whatever we give in His path with true and sincere intention, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Ameen. Bijahi Nabil Ameen. Now is the time that we go towards our segment. Yes. And that is, to succeed, you must read, inshallah. And today's book is about the schedule of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, we all have work around the schedule. We have our schedule in the morning, what we do in the afternoon, what is it that we do, and then in the evenings, what is it that we do, family time, etc. So we divide our day, different parts of the day for different tasks, and we need to learn. I mean, it is important for us to learn more and more about the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his lifestyle. And this book is all about us learning the schedule of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he would divide his days and nights. And inshallah azza wa jal, maybe you'll get to learn something which is valuable, and inshallah it can serve as a life lesson for you and me, inshallah azza wa jal, who knows. Let's inshallah dive deep into this beautiful book, and extract some parts and narrate some parts of this book, inshallah azza wa jalla, which can be of benefit to me and you. And at the same time, we are learning about our deen of Islam. Yes, and we'll inshallah shortly reveal the name of the book to you and some passages of the book. Inshallah, before that, let's watch this beautiful clip. It is about Salah is the divine solution to your problems. This is the title and the premise of this clip, alhamdulillah. Let's listen and watch this beautiful clip, and inshallah, we'll be back after watching this clip. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 153, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu sta'inu bis sabri was salah. O believers, seek help from patience and prayer. Whenever you are going through tough times in life or things are not in your favor, turn your attention to the Creator, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Offer salah and seek help. Once you adopt this method, you will see that the difficulties will turn into ease. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has stated, as long as you are engaged in salah, you are knocking on the door of the king. For those who constantly knock the door of the king, the door is eventually opened. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, you're watching this beautiful nasiha and advice from the Muballigh of Dawat Islami that salah, yes, it can be a solution, a divine solution to our problems. InshaAllah, we turn to Allah in every matter of our lives. InshaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as. Ameen, bijahi nabiyil ameen. As we are discussing, alhamdulillah, this beautiful book, which is about the schedule of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, this is one passage of the book that I'm reading to you. Inshallah, if it sounds interesting to you, you can get your hands on this book. If you want the physical copy, you can contact the bookshop of Dawat Islami, Maktabatul Madina, in your local area. Or if not, then at least you can go on your devices, on your phone, tablets, iPads, laptops, computers, etc. And you can download this book free of cost from the website of Dawat Islami, dawatislami.net, the PDF copy, inshallah, azza wa jal. And in that way, you can increase your Islamic knowledge. Yes, and as I was saying, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is mentioned in the book that he said about the events and experiences from the life history of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that when I asked my father, Sayyidina Imam Hussein says, when I asked my father, who was his father, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when I asked my father, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as to what the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do during the time that he spent in his blessed house. So what was life of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like at home? So he, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Ali, he said that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to enter the house, he would divide his time into three portions. His time was divided into three portions. In one portion, he would devote himself to Allah's worship. So one third he would spend in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second third he would spend for attending to his family needs. He would spend with his family. And then the third portion he would keep for himself, subhanallah. That would be his private time, subhanallah. And then he would, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, divide his own part that he had for himself, the leisure time. He kept that part for himself and for people, to help people, subhanallah. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would approach those who would remain unable to come to the blessed house, meaning if somebody couldn't make it to come to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see him, to visit him, he would go to them in those times. And through the close companions present in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not hide any advice or any guidance from both the elite and the ordinary common people, subhanallah. He would treat everyone equally, subhanallah. And he would impart his guidance with all and sundry, whether somebody was rich or somebody that was poor, subhanallah. And that was the beautiful character of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we need to adopt. And as we are learning the schedule of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let's learn more. In terms of the part for the Ummah, how he would divide his time for the Ummah, it is his way that he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would prioritize the virtuous people. Yes, he would not look at people in terms of whether they had more wealth or less wealth or more status or less status, but he would rather look at who was more virtuous, who was more spiritually uplifted, so that they could reach out and benefit others, inshallah, azza wa jal, because there were those sahaba who, alhamdulillah, were very influential and who were on this spiritual level, the senior sahaba, who would go on behalf of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to different tribes and to different localities and pass on the message of Islam on behalf of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his students and as his messengers, subhanallah. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would divide this part for the ummah according to the religious necessities. The third part that was left for himself, he would dedicate this as well for the benefit of the ummah. That was the selfless nature of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anyone who has been asked, or has been blessed with dignity, and he had to ask about an Islamic matter, subhanallah. Let's say, for example, someone approached the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would ask about Islamic rulings on certain things, and someone had to ask about two. Sometimes a person has two questions or three questions, and some had to ask about many other Islamic matters. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would first pay attention to the questioners, allowing them to ask only those questions which could benefit the ummah. Subhanallah. Even then he was selective that what is more helpful to the people, and he would hasten towards answering those questions. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would then explain the rulings according to their states. After that, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask the attendees in the court to pass on these rulings to the rest of the ummah who were not in attendance. Meaning, if there is something, somebody asked some general question, and Rasulullah knew that this answer could benefit more than one person, then he would tell them that whatever I've told you, pass it on to others, and inshallah, so others could benefit from it. Now, this schedule of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at home. There is more to it, and if you need to learn more, inshallah, azza wa jal, download this book and start reading and learning about the schedule of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at home and outside home. Now Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was curious, and then he asked Sayyidina Ali, his father, that what was the schedule of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outside his home? You know, this was his schedule at home, but what was his schedule like outside his house? And then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala replied that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mostly remain silent and only speak when it was necessary and beneficial. That is something we need to adopt, that we shouldn't say meaningless stuff, futile things that have no benefit to anyone. Yes, and speak when you're spoken to, and speak things that are of wisdom and that could help people. Do not speak of things that may hurt people or hurt anybody's feelings. Yes, we need to be careful about all these matters as soon as we open our mouths, because this is the portal through which we communicate. So our communication, in order for it to be effective, to be affectionate, inshallah azza wa jal, we should be wise as to what we say and when we say it. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mostly remain silent and only speak when it was necessary and beneficial. And then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala says that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would win over people with his good manners and avoid saying anything that would make them dislike you. Yes. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would honor the elderly people of every nation and make them their leaders. So these are some of the points that he mentioned about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outside his home, how he would spend it. And there is much more to discuss here. The book is, alhamdulillah, 77 pages, and I have barely scratched the surface and have just narrated maybe a little less than 5 pages to you. There's still a lot of details, and if you want to know more, inshallah, you know the name of the book, The Schedule of the Beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Download it from the website of Dawat Islami and do yourself a favor and add to your Islamic knowledge, offer it to your children, to your siblings, to those who are close to you, so they can also benefit from this beautiful publication of Maktabatul Madina. Inshallah, until next time, keep reciting durood in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace.